WHO.
It's your pal, Jeff Angelo. I'm trying to bring the sunshine. I know. Our friend Wendy, she's like, well, it's just going to be like this if I well rain. I know what you're saying, Wendy. And I'm trying to bring the sunshine to you. My name is Jeff Angelo. Thank you for joining me today on News Radio 1040 WHO, spending part of your Monday with me. Did you know that January is National Divorce Month? It's not like we set up a celebration in January. This is the month when most people file for divorce. I wanted to talk this over with somebody that could chat with me about this phenomena. And this is the CEO of Cordell & Cordell. They are a firm that specializes in representing men in divorce proceedings. On the Grip Tight Foundation Repair Newsmaker line, it is Scott Trout. Scott, welcome to WHO in Des Moines. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
So let's open up with this phenomena that most people are filing for divorce in January. I'm sure folks come into your office, Scott, and they say the trigger mechanism for this was what? What caused January of all months to be the month that people thought about filing for divorce?
You know, it isn't really any particular event or situation that occurs magically at the beginning of January. It probably and most likely is a culmination of events throughout the previous year. And what we see is a lot of our clients at Cordell & Cordell are holistic planners. And they think, okay, let's wait through the holidays and I want to start the new year fresh. And some think about the tax implications of waiting beyond the next year and then rolling it in. And they just make that decision to start the new year in a fresh start.
One of the things I want to ask you about, Scott, I was very interested in that your firm specializes in representing men in divorce proceedings. So tell me a little bit about the unique challenges in representing a man in divorce proceedings.
Yeah. So, you know, many years ago, we noticed that about, a super majority, 90%+ of our clients were men, and we saw a need to level the playing field in divorce. And so we decided to really focus on representing guys and when it relates to matters before, during, and after divorce. And whether it's, we don't think it's malicious or intentional, but what we do see is that courts throughout the country just maintain this stereotype and perpetuate the status quo, and where guys are to be the ones that have to go get the job. And practically what we're seeing is more women, more moms, are the breadwinner, and we have some guys that are staying at home. And so what we want to do is we want to try to level that playing field, and we want to make sure that we break those stereotypes and kind of get rid of the status quo. And we want to walk with those guys and educate them, and that's what we've focused our firm to do throughout the country in the UK, is to try to really press that and to educate guys and know what their rights are.
Right, absolutely. Because when you go in that courtroom, I assume you have to be emotionally prepared that the judge may have a few things to say that you feel are a little bit unfair if you're a guy, because the courts do tend to still tilt toward the stereotype of the woman is going to take care of the kids, correct?
They do. And I think you have to be prepared not only as a planner, and I think that's what we're all about, is making sure you plan, not just make this emotional decision, because it is the most difficult time in your life. And every decision you make has a consequence. And judges are prepared to just say, okay, it's the dad and he's working, and so therefore you get one night a week and every other weekend. And so we have to be prepared to really challenge the court. And we see the studies that show that two parents, not just dad and not just mom, the children do far better when both parents are substantially involved.
So tell me about, you brought up a really great point, Scott. You keep bringing up sort of the emotion of the moment. Do you have a challenge with your clients where if they've come out of a bad relationship and they're upset and they're grieving the end of their relationship, that they want to use the divorce process as some sort of vengeance against the person that's going to be their former spouse? You have to be a bit dispassionate in all of this, correct?
You do. I mean, I think that's a natural reaction, is that, there's misconduct on the other side, or they're keeping the children from you over the holidays. You want to use the divorce as a tool. But you have to step back and know that it's very transparent to the court. You know, the courts have seen thousands and thousands of this event where you use it as a weapon, and it'll be held against you. And so we have that frank conversation, and every guy needs to understand that, you need to do this in the best interest of your kids, in the best interest of your property, everything that you've worked hard for. And there'll be a time to have that emotional, you know, outburst, and you can have that with your lawyer, but just certainly not use it as a tool in court. It does nothing but serve to hurt your case in the future.
So you were talking about preparing for your time in court. So you have a male client, Scott, and of course the divorce procedure goes on for multiple weeks. What should they be doing leading up to that final moment where the divorce is granted to not hurt their case for spending more time with their kids post-divorce?
Yeah, you know, we've written a book called 10 Stupidest Mistakes Men Make When Facing Divorce. And I'll tell you, if guys read that, they'll be 15 steps ahead of those other guys, really. And it's a great read because it's practical experience and practical examples of what's happened. And so, you know, if I take one out of there and what guys can do to really prepare themselves, it's really keeping a diary or a journal of a day in the life. You know, kind of make your attorney's job less difficult. So we know what's going on, you know, who's taking care of the kid, who takes care of the child who goes to school and does homework. It really is, we want to be involved in their life, and we can't live it 24/7. You know, their life doesn't end at 5 p.m. when the lawyer goes home.
Yeah.
So we ask them to keep a journal. But that's one of the mistakes guys make, is they just let their lawyer kind of run the case, and they do nothing to help themselves. And so journals are extremely important to kind of relive the facts of what happens during that separation period.
And of course, Scott, I'm sure one of the things that you are dealing with these days is posting on social media. I'm thinking about both parties going through a divorce. They're both emotional. That stuff can come up in court. Am I correct?
It can. You know, I was fortunate enough. I was the legal expert on Dr. Phil a number of years ago on this very subject. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We tell our clients at Cordell & Cordell, get off of social media. There's nothing good that can come about.
Right.
You know, it's great to post a photo, but it can be interpreted differently, and it can be used against you. And it's also about building strategy. You don't want to talk about strategy in your Facebook post about what's going to happen at trial and who's going to come and testify for you. So we tell our clients the best thing you can do, deactivate your accounts, wait till the case is over. Social media is nothing but a weapon against you.
And let's go back to another very important point you made, Scott. So the divorce process is very, very emotional. There is a temptation to use the kids as a weapon against the other person. I'm sure one of the things that you have to advise your client is you got to think of your kids. I know that you're upset about what's going on, but you got to think of your kids during this process and don't put them in the middle.
Right. Absolutely. You know, there's nothing worse from a judge's perspective than seeing a parent putting a child in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these tools, we're called kids in the middle, and dealing with understanding how to communicate with the children. And we have an article on dadsdivorce.com that deals with what's called parental alienation syndrome. And that is exactly it, putting the kids in the middle and then putting the blame on one parent over the other. And courts throughout the country are using parental alienation to give custody to the other side for that very example you pointed out, by using the kids for a reason why one parent's getting a divorce. And it's a terrible situation, but the courts are smarter than that, and it's something you have to resist, and we counsel our clients on that, you know, forever throughout the case to make sure they're not doing that.
Yeah, because what comes to mind, Scott, in you talking about that is the fact that you could have been a great dad all the way up to this moment. You're going through this painful process. You start doing things like using the kids to punish the person that you're divorcing. And that, in a judge's mind, that could wipe out any goodwill you were trying to build up, correct?
Oh, yeah. That's the fast track to losing custody and getting nothing that you want, especially when you represent guys. You know, one of the things I tell them in our seminars that we give in the evening is that representing guys is about appearance and presentation. You have one opportunity to do the right thing. Moms, on the other hand, have several opportunities. Oh, well, you know what, it's emotional time for her. But guys don't have that, and that is still the stereotype and that status that judges inflict upon guys. They can't afford to do that. And so they have to do everything correctly. It can't be an emotional decision. It has to be a strategic decision. And that's part about the planning process we always talk about.
So that's one of the points, that the key points that you've been making, Scott, is that at times, because we still operate under these stereotypes, the court will give the female client a bigger break on behavior than the man. Have you seen instances of that?
We have. You know, not to say that it's rampant throughout the country.
Right.
Courts have made great strides moving forward with guys and their custody, but we still see it. And I give you an example where, with a protective order, where our client, the man, was assaulted and put in the hospital. And so we go get a protective order, and the judge says, well, you know, what is he afraid of? It's just his wife. Mm. You know, the rule. And I said, Judge, if the roles were reversed, you would never say that. And right. You have to give the order of protection. And it is. And the judge stepped back and said, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Those still happen, and they're not intentional. They're just natural. And so we're just trying to break those stereotypes, break those ways of thinking. And again, the courts are doing a great job, but that's what we're all about, is to make sure that we challenge the status quo.
So, Scott, you are a CEO of Cordell & Cordell. Where can people go for more information about your work?
Well, we have a number of websites out there with great information. DadsDivorce.com is loaded with tools and materials and articles written by my attorneys. Cordell will give you more information about the firm, and certainly you can dial 1-866-DADS-LAW if you need more information or you want to set an appointment with us.
All right, Scott, that was fascinating stuff. Thanks very much for talking me through this. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great, thanks. Have a great day.
Yep, you too.